All right, welcome back to the Bible Class Debrief. Today we have Tim and Micah with us, and they just taught through lessons 3.3 and 3.4, which cover everything from Abraham and Abimelech all the way through Abraham being tested on Mount Moriah with his son. And Tim and Micah have performed an amazing feat in that they covered these two lessons, these four chapters, in about 10 or 15 minutes because their class was interrupted by an assembly. So how did you do it? Micah, take it away.
Well, I only got through about two chapters, but
okay, that's one way to do it. Condense.
Yeah, we kind of just went over the story and talked about some real life applications. The story of, we mostly focused on, like, Abraham lied again about his wife being his sister. I mean, half lied because she's his half sister, but and then talked about, like, you know, there's a lot of times where we're tempted to sin because we're trying to get things that, you know, God does want us to have eventually, but we're trying to find shortcuts to do it in our own ways, and how we need to trust God that he's got us. And when he says he's going to do things, he's going to do them.
Okay. So it sounds like you spent the bulk of your time on the Abraham and Abimelech section of the story. Tim, what did you get covered?
I am blessed by having a classroom that's on the backside of the school. So I milked it into the close to the 20 minute mark. And I have middle schoolers. They have long legs. They still made it out to the field on time. Nice. So we glossed the lesson 3.3. So I started off with a previously on the story of everything. You know, Abraham lied about his wife to Pharaoh. And Ishmael was born, and things were a bit sticky around that. It was sort of touch and go if Hagar was going to run away, and God sent her back. And then God promised that in about a year, the actual promised son was going to be born. And then launched into this, and what that let me do was just gloss Abraham and Abimelech and just say, so Abraham comes up into the promised land. He, you know, he makes this agreement at this point with Abimelech, and he does the thing again. And Abimelech ends up like complaining, like, what have I done to you that you would set me up like this? And now God's beating me up. Why? Why didn't you just tell me the truth? And then the promised son is born. Hagar and Ishmael's situation kind of comes to a head. Sarah is very, very fiercely protective of Isaac. I mean, she waited 90 years for him. You can see why she might be. And she comes to Abraham and goes, look, this is your promised son. This one right here. Get this other kid out of here. And God says, okay, trust me, do it. I'm going to take care of him and I'm going to make him a great nation. And so God moves Ishmael off stage and begins to make him a great nation. And then we rolled into Mount Moriah from there.
Okay. So, and Micah, you got through the Abraham and Abimelech portion.
Yes.
Did you get into the part where they sent Ishmael away?
No.
Okay. But I did hear something that you both said was that the trusting God element, God is carrying out his plan within the story, and Abraham didn't trust him when he was in front of Abimelech. He had to lie and, you know, try to manipulate the system. And then also with, you know, but with the story you did with Ishmael, again, God spoke to Abraham and said, trust me, it's okay if you send this boy away. So there's some common ground there. So your big takeaway for the kids, Micah, was the trusting God in whatever circumstance you have or whatever circumstance God puts you in, be honest, be faithful, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim, did you have a kind of the application out of this section?
What I wanted them to take from this, God keeps testing. Abraham, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, this was great. I said, so like, how's his track? What's his track record like so far? And they're like, it was a hard question. They're like, well, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's been kind of like, there've been some bad bits. They're kind of struggling with, how do you grade this?
Right. Right.
Which is exactly the point. He's, you know, I mean, the biggest ask probably of his life is drop everything
mm-hmm.
and go to a place I'm going to show you. And he does it.
Yeah.
And then there's a famine in the land. So he kind of keeps going. That leads to the Pharaoh situation. That's not so great. Comes back up, trusts God to provide for him and Lot. That goes well. Trusts God to give him victory in battle when Lot gets kidnapped. That goes well. Biffs it with the Hagar situation the first time,
mm-hmm.
which leads to Ishmael. Biffs it with Abimelech, trusts God with sending Ishmael out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of back and forth. There's some really big, important stuff that he trusts God with. And there's some ones that he doesn't do too well.
Well, and yet we see the repeated, you know, line about the wife thing, playing the sister game. Is this a pattern for Abraham because he has some specific, you know, temptation to protect his wife in a way that's bad or good, or what's kind of the takeaway? Why does he keep doing this one over again? God says, go somewhere, you'll figure it out when you get there. He kind of does that a couple of times, right? When he comes back with Lot, he's like, mm-hmm. Lot, you choose which way to go. I know God's got me, you know. But when it comes to Sarah, he's like,
he has a harder time with that one.
Not going to do it.
He has a harder time with that one. Yeah. One way of framing it would be the direct challenges to the seed are where he's more likely to biff it, honestly.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's in some ways the more crucial temptations.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little bit of a problem there. But then he goes up on Mount Moriah and nails it.
Like, yeah.
He gets the big test and he gets it right.
Okay. Well, let's roll into that. And you didn't get to it this week yet, Micah, but Tim, talk us through what you did with that story.
So on that foundation, then we're like, so now God talks to him, and I always play up the, like the humanizing details. So I'm curious. I want to know, like,
mm-hmm.
when I get to heaven, hey, Sarah, before Abraham went out to Mount Moriah, did he have a conversation with you, or was he just going to explain it all when he got back? I'm really curious. Because you, at this point in their marriage, like when Abraham comes home and goes, so God and I have been talking. Like, she's got to be going, what now? But we hopped up into Hebrews 11 and looked at what does he actually think is going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hinted at in Genesis where with the servant, he says, you know, you guys wait here. We're going to go up on top of the mountain and worship, and the boy and I will come back to you.
Right.
But Hebrews explains it, that he thinks he's going to kill Isaac on the altar, and then God is going to raise him from the dead.
Yeah.
So he has it worked out in his head that he knows God has been very, like, nothing but clear. This is the son.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody else. It's not Ishmael. It's not anybody else. It's this one. It's Isaac. He's the one. So Abraham's like, well, guess we're going to get a resurrection then. So he goes, and we talked some about Abraham's faith in thinking through, this must be the way it's going to happen then.
Yeah.
And being willing to do this because he knows God is faithful to his word and God's committed himself on this one. And then the faith of Isaac, because Isaac doesn't have all of that long backlog.
Right.
With the whole Ishmael situation, all of this waiting, the, you know, having a kid way past, like, this is just Isaac's life. His parents are really old. What are you going to do? He doesn't have all that. And somehow we get the wood piled up and Abraham's like, All right, hop up there, buddy. And he doesn't run. Go screaming down the mountain to the servants, yeah. Like, Dad's lost it. Let's get out of here. He's killing people. I mean, he's a young man. He's not incapable of running away. He gets up on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have this mental picture as God stops, you know, Abraham raises the knife. God stops him. There's a ram in the thicket. Like Abraham says, all right, go grab that sheep. Like, you never saw a more eager young shepherd. Go and get that. And God provides the sacrifice. But this is Abraham, like, passing the biggest test of his life. And this is the thing that for the rest of the Old Testament and for all of the New Testament, the authors look back to.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham was ready to offer his son to God. This was the promise. This was God basically saying, making it very clear, this is what I've promised you. It's Isaac. It's Isaac. It's all Isaac. Kill Isaac for me. Like, get in there, mess everything up on purpose. And he's going to follow what God has given him to do. And he trusts God. And you can have a mixed track record and still be remembered for your successes too.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's something that comes along with this passage, that the idea, you know, of course, it's a test of Abraham's faith and all of that. But there's also kind of a dark side interpretation of this where, you know, the mean God asks, you know, what kind of a God would ask a man to take the life of his own son? Did you get any of those kind of questions from your kids, or did that?
We touched it a little bit. I had one kid that was sort of sifting through, like, if somebody goes to thinks God is telling them this now, though,
mm-hmm.
We lock them up in a small room and look at them through a little window. Yes. Yes, we do. With good reason. God is about to express what he thinks of human sacrifice. But Abraham lives in a world where that's not all that uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing about this is not God asking for a human sacrifice. The weird thing about this is that it's Isaac, whom God has already said he's going to make a nation out of. That makes it a little odd.
Yeah.
But human sacrifice is a thing in Abraham's world.
Yeah.
And God is going to express himself very clearly through history, and it starts here, that this is not a thing that you do. But this is kind of where that starts.
Yeah.
And God's making a comment about it, which is what makes, we didn't get to this, but this is the setup for it later. This is what makes the cross so powerful.
Uh-huh.
Is, well, okay, there's one, and that's it. And now we're done.
Yeah. It's good. The last thing that comes to mind is we kind of hint at this even in the lessons, that there's a command, divide, name, evaluate thing. Where now we did the command, you know, go from this land to a land that I will show you. And of course, Abraham was divided, received a new name. And now this is the testing and evaluation portion of his life. Did you touch on that at all?
That was in my plan for this lesson, but when I found out we were going to chop it down to 15 to 20 minutes, that went right out the window.
Yeah.
But again, with those big patterns, I'll be able to, we hit all the marks. Yep. So I'll be able, like, I can ring that bell next week. Absolutely. I can ring it in March,
mm-hmm.
you know, months from now. They're familiar enough with the events of the story to follow that.
Yeah. All right. Well, this might be a shorter one unless there's anything we've missed or anything you want to add, Tim or Micah. Sounds like we have covered these two lessons. All right. We will see you next time on Bible Class Debrief.